Hello, everyone. Good morning. And happy Mother's Day to our mothers here. Who are the mothers here? Oh, okay. Yeah, so happy Mother's Day to all of you. And I'm really glad to be here this morning to worship with you, and it's really my joy and privilege to share God's word with you. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time when we can gather together again to worship and to thank you for your blessings upon each one of us. And as we celebrate Mother's Day today, we want to give you thanks for our mothers, for their sacrificial love, which is a reflection of your great love for all of us. And may you bless them richly all the days of their life, enjoying a close walk with you. I pray that you will now open our eyes and ears so we may see you and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit as you speak to us through your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Extraordinary mothers. In this world of cosmetics and plastic surgery, I guess it's really not that hard to try to look pretty, right? Ladies? I can see that you're all pretty. Okay. A couple who just came back from South Korea told me that most of the Korean ladies have had some kind of facial plastic surgery. That's why they look kind of really nice. But the problem is, according to him, he says, it seems that everybody looks kind of the same. Well, this Bible verse that we read this morning, just the one verse from Proverbs 31:30, maybe we can all read together for one time. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So this Bible verse in Proverbs 31:30 greatly reminds us that inner beauty is much more important than outward appearance, as beauty is very short-lived. But inner qualities, especially the fear of the Lord, carries eternal values. Now, what does it mean to fear the Lord? How does that work? How can it be lived out in our lives? How to be fear of the Lord? Well, it means to put God first in everything. God has the most important place in our lives. And a person who fears the Lord would want to obey his words, to stay away from sin, to revere him and to honor him in everything we do, and to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. Today, I'm going to share with you three very extraordinary mothers from the Bible. And they're all God-fearing ladies. And as we go through these characters, we will see that each one of them carries a very special spiritual trait which qualifies them to be called an extraordinary mother. And I'm sure these ladies will be great inspirations for all of us, for everybody, especially for the mothers. Now, the first of these three ladies in the Bible, the first one, I'm sure maybe you will probably know who I'm going to talk about. She's a very famous lady in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels. Who is she? The most famous lady in the Gospel. Yay. Yes, Mary, the mother of Jesus. We're probably very familiar with her stories in the Bible, and especially the story of the Annunciation. When the angel appeared to her and announced to her that she was to be the mother of the Savior. But what about Mary that makes her such an extraordinary mother? It is her faithfulness to God's calling. The task that was entrusted to Mary is really no small thing. It is a huge challenge. Because she was still a young virgin, as we know, when she was about to conceive, and she was fully aware that it was strictly forbidden in those days to be pregnant before marriage. And if Joseph, her fiancé, found out that she was pregnant, he would probably break their engagement and thinking she must have been unfaithful to him. And there was also the danger of being stoned to death for people who commit adultery. So she had to bear with such danger, shame, and misunderstanding. Moreover, there was never any such incident in the history of mankind that a virgin who is not married can conceive. All kinds of questions and thoughts must have flashed into her mind in that instant. And at that moment, the angel reassured her that the Holy Spirit will come upon her and the power of the Most High will overshadow her. The angel also showed Mary another proof of God's mighty power by telling her a good news. What is this good news? Her cousin Elizabeth, what happened to her? She was pregnant. She was pregnant, although she was way past her childbearing age. She was already old, but she was pregnant for 6 months already. And it proved to Mary that with God, nothing is impossible. So when Mary heard the angel's assurance, she submitted right away to the task, the mission that was entrusted to her from the Lord. She was willing to take this great risk in obedience to God's calling. Why? Why was Mary so brave? Why was she so courageous in accepting this hugely difficult task, knowing that she may have to endure all kinds of hardships even for the rest of her life? And indeed we know, as we read on to the stories in the gospel, that Mary really had a very difficult motherhood. She was often heartbroken for Jesus. Well, I think she was brave and courageous for at least two reasons. Firstly, Mary, as we know, she is a very God-fearing young lady, and she was willing to obey whatever is from the Lord. And that's why she says in what we know Mary's song, she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my Savior. She is a God-fearing lady. Secondly, she was fully aware that this was God's plan entrusted to her. It was a mission from the Lord. That's why in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary said. "May your word to me be fulfilled." She was very submissive out of her godliness, and also she knew that it was a mission. It was a task entrusted to her. It was God's plan to her. So she gladly accepted it in spite of the huge difficulty and challenge. Dear mothers, God has entrusted children to our care so we can bring them up and love them and take care of them. But as we know, we realize that sometimes to some mothers, their job as a mother can be much more demanding and challenging and more difficult than others. For example, there are kids who are born with physical defects or mental disabilities. And there are kids who are very rebellious and may even end up in crimes or serious troubles. And in these difficult circumstances, some mothers may feel very discouraged and disheartened, thinking they're very unfortunate to have these children. In a Cantonese saying, I don't know if I can translate in English, "San God Tasiu," "Hoga Sanli." Well, that means I'd rather have a barbecue pork than to have this kid who gives me so much trouble. But mothers, especially the God-fearing mothers, they would look at it in a totally different way. They know God has a plan for their children. God has entrusted this kid, this special child, very dear to her, no matter what. These mothers would choose to be faithful to God's calling, and they're willing to have God's plan fulfilled in their children's life. This guy, do you know him? Who knows him? Oh, yeah? Some? A few? Okay, who's that? Yay. Who's he? What does he do? Okay, yeah. He was a very famous American football player. Do you know about his birth story? Have you ever heard? No? Okay, that's good. So I'm going to tell you now. Anyway, Tim, when his mom was pregnant with Tim, many doctors told her, this child that you're carrying has a very high risk, very extremely high risk of having birth defects or even tumor. So they strongly advised Tim's mom to abort the child. However, Tim's mom, his parents, are very devout Christians. They are missionaries. And they firmly believe, the mother firmly believed, that God has given this child to her for a purpose. And she was willing to submit to God's will. So she was determined to keep the baby. Although there was a chance that, yes, the baby may be born abnormal or have some kind of defect or tumor, whatever. But she knew this baby, this precious life, was from God. And she knew God has his will. God has a plan for each of these lives. So she was determined and she kept the baby. But when Tim was born, do you know what happened? Do you know if he was normal or abnormal? Normal? Vote for normal? Vote for abnormal. Sorry? Oh, okay. Okay. Any other comments? Born normal, abnormal, or problem with some kind of problem? Okay, now. The result is he was born perfectly normal, just like any other healthy baby, and happy and sweet and lively. So nothing was wrong. Physically, emotionally, or mentally, he was just a very normal baby. So that was a surprise to everybody because according to some doctors, not even just the one doctor, but a group of doctors diagnosed that this baby that Tim's mom was carrying was kind of like having serious birth defects. But to their surprise, he was born absolutely healthy. And not only that, Tim, as he grew up, he really loved the Lord. And he was a devout, he's a devout Christian. And he was a very famous American football player. When he goes around to play football, he would witness to people. Sometimes you see like on his face, those little black things. And there are white thing on there. Those are the scriptures. Yeah, sometimes he would put down scriptures on his face to witness and to share God's love wherever he goes. But as we know, not all of these stories have such happy ending. In one of the pharmacies my husband Patrick is working, there's a lady who brings her son into the store every week in a wheelchair and to pick up his medication. This young man is about in his 20s, but his mental ability is like a little kid, a few years old. So when people see the mother and her adult children, some may feel very sorry for them, and some may even feel sad when they see this adult who is like a little child. but not for the mother. She's always, according to Patrick, she's always smiling. She always has a smile on her face, and there isn't a trace of regret, frustration, or sadness on her face. Brothers and sisters, these are extraordinary mothers who are like Mary, who fear the Lord and faithful to their calling, no matter how difficult circumstances may be. They're willing to sacrifice everything for their children to honor God, and in order that God's will, God's plan, be fulfilled in their children's life. We cannot be short-sighted. We have to have spiritual eyes to see God's plan and God's purpose. The second mother we're looking at is described in Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. It is about the Canaanite woman. Who's familiar with this story of the Canaanite woman? Some of you? I'm sure some of you have read the story, Canaanite woman. Well, she is such a very ordinary woman that her name is not even mentioned in the Bible. We don't know who she is, and we don't know where she came from. She was just described as a Canaanite woman, a Gentile. But what is so extraordinary about her? Because she is a persistent intercessor. A persistent intercessor. Well, if we know about the social norm of those days, we would understand this lady. What she did was something really incredible. In those days, the Jews, would they have anything to do with Gentiles? No. There was a barrier between Jews and Gentiles. So absolutely, they didn't want anything to do with Gentiles, especially with women. So when this Canaanite woman came to talk to Jesus, a very much respected rabbi, it was totally inappropriate. But why did she come? Why did she want to see Jesus? Oh, it was entirely for the sake of her daughter, who was suffering greatly as she was possessed by the demon. I'm sure this mother had tried different ways and many times for getting help from different people, perhaps a doctor, physicians, or even maybe some Gentile sorcerers and people like that, because she wanted to help her daughter. Her daughter was possessed by the demon. So she would go around and ask anybody who she thinks may be able to help her daughter. But of course, nobody could do anything for her daughter. How desperate she must have been. Now, she has heard of Jesus. She has heard of the many miracles that Jesus did. And she heard that this Jesus can even drive out demons. Time and again, she heard of these stories. Then she came to two very important conclusions in her mind. The first of these conclusions is that she thought, Jesus must be the Messiah that the Jews were waiting for, because he carries such authority and power that only God can have. That's why when she came to Jesus, she said, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, this title, Son of David, is a very specific title, referring to the Messiah, the Savior God has planned for humankind. So she knows, she recognized that Jesus is God. He is the Messiah. And second belief that came to her mind was that this Jesus, since he is God, he must be really merciful and loving, and he would not turn her down of her great need. So this Canaanite woman was very determined. in spite of great oppositions from even the disciples. They were trying to drive her away. Stop yelling, woman. Stop screaming. Just go away. But she wouldn't have any of it. She kept screaming and begging for Jesus' help. Absolutely nothing and nobody can stop her, can stop this mother from insisting to have Jesus save her daughter. Although Jesus seemed to reject her at first to test her faith, but she still persisted in her plea. That's why, finally, Jesus granted her request, saying, Jesus says, woman, you have great faith. You have great faith. You did not lose heart. You keep on asking. So your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. In the course of history, we can actually find these kind of mothers who are persistent intercessors for their children. Just like this man and this lady, any of you seen this picture? Do you know who that is? No? Okay, except for myself. Well, this young man is Saint Augustine, and the lady beside him is his mother, Monica. Have you heard of Saint Augustine's story? No? Okay, that's good. Well, Augustine was a very, very rebellious kid, and by 16 years old, he was already notorious for his wayward and lustrous living. His mother, Monica, prayed in tears. She's a very devout Christian, very dedicated believer. She prayed for her son every day, every night, in tears. She even asked the bishops in those days to please come and pray with me for my son, and please talk to my son, and hopefully then he will repent. And one of these bishops, his name is Ambrose, eventually told her, Monica, please stop bothering me, because prayers like yours in tears every day and every night for your child, I don't believe that God would not answer your prayer. I don't believe that your son is going to perish. And indeed, God greatly honored Monica's prayers. One day, as Augustine was sitting under a tree, he was just resting, relaxing. But suddenly he heard a very distinct voice urging him to pick it up and read. Pick it up and read. It was the voice of the Holy Spirit. There was a copy of the Bible right beside him. So he obeyed the voice, he picked it up, and started to read the Bible. And when he read to Romans chapter 13, especially verses 13 to 14, which clearly condemned all kinds of sinful and lustful lifestyle, he was greatly convicted by the Holy Spirit and truly repented of his sins. Later, as we know, some of you may know, Augustine was a very brilliant church father, and he was also a great teacher in his theologies and teaching about God. He was greatly used by God. So just like the Canaanite woman and this Monica, there were other mothers, just like a famous missionary, Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor's mother was one of them. Hudson Taylor was a very dedicated missionary to China, as some of you may know. But when he was young, he was pretty bad. So his mom, Hudson Taylor's mom, also prayed very earnestly for his son's salvation. And when he was 15 years old, his mother had her prayers answered. And also Billy Graham's wife, Ruth Graham, praying for their wayward son. And now Franklin, he is a great evangelist. And many mothers, I'm sure, who are persistent intercessors. And I'm sure some of you mothers are also like this, who would never give up praying for their children. Surely God would listen to all their cries, all our cries, for mercy, grace, and salvation for our children. And the third character is Hannah. It is written in the book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1. And Hannah, as we know, is the prophet Samuel's mother. But what makes Hannah a very extraordinary mother? It is her willingness to give God the best. You're probably familiar with this story of Samuel and his mother Hannah. Hannah's husband, Elkanah, has two wives. One of them is Hannah, and Hannah has no children. And the other wife was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, and because of that, she often provoked and irritated Hannah, giving her a hard time. So when one year, when the whole family went up to Shiloh to worship God in the temple, in the tabernacle at that time, Hannah went by herself to the tabernacle, and she started weeping and praying to God, asking and begging God, if it's God's will, that she may have a son. When Eli the priest saw her, he comforted her, and then he said, "May your prayer be answered," and then sent her home. No sooner God heard the prayers of Hannah, and she was conceived and gave birth to her son Samuel. Samuel was literally a miracle baby because he was very, very precious to Hannah. And also, he was not supposed to be there only because his mother prayed. And that's why God gave the baby to Hannah. But the amazing thing is, instead of keeping Samuel for herself, Hannah took Samuel to Eli the priest and put him under Eli's care in the temple, so Samuel could serve the Lord all his life. Dear brothers and sisters and mothers, how could Hannah leave her son when he was still so young? He was just about 3 years old. Besides, Samuel was a miracle baby and her only son at that time. And if Hannah would leave little Samuel with Eli in the temple and then she would go home, then it would seem that she has no children again. What was she thinking? It was because Hannah was also a God-fearing woman. When she prayed for a son, she made a vow to the Lord saying that she would give him to the Lord to serve God all the days of his life. This was a vow Hannah made to God when she prayed for a son. Now, I don't believe it is Hannah's exchange for God's favor. I don't look at it that way at all. But rather, it is out of Hannah's deep gratitude. She was willing to offer her son to God for God's service to show her thankfulness and her love for God. It is not like an exchange for her vow. Okay, Lord, you listen to me and answer my prayer. Give me a son so I will give Samuel to you. No, no, it doesn't work that way. It is because of her heart's desire to have a son. And if God grants her desire, then she would be so grateful and she would be so thankful. And she loves God so much that she thinks giving her son to God's service would be a great honor to her. It would greatly please her heart that he would be God's servant. So that's why when Hannah took Samuel to God's temple in Shiloh when he was just about 3 years old, instead of feeling sad and sorrowful because of the departure, she said the most beautiful prayer in chapter 2 of 1 Samuel. Hannah praised the Lord of his greatness and his goodness. And she gave Samuel up to the Lord because she knows it's honoring to God, and it's her heart's desire. She was happy. She didn't think she lost her son, but she gave Samuel to God's service. Dear brothers and sisters and mothers, are we willing to give back to God whatever we treasure the most, including our children? This is Reverend Sunny Mok, a very well-respected CNMA pastor. He was a missionary to Cambodia for many years, and after he came back to Canada, he pastored a Chinese Alliance church in Windsor, Ontario. Reverend Mok just was taken to the Lord about a month or two ago in his very old age. His paternal grandmother was a very devout Christian, and so was his mother. After Reverend Mok became a Christian when he was a young man, he felt God's calling into full-time ministry. So he was thinking perhaps he should go into Bible college to receive some training. However, he was the only child in the family, so he had the responsibility of taking care of his family. At that time, he was working with the government, and he had a very good and promising job. His supervisor was very good to him. So he was worried that if he tells his mother about his decision or God's calling, she may not agree with him. Because it was really difficult those days to earn a living as a pastor, so he may become a very poor pastor. But to his surprise, Reverend Mok's mother consented gladly to his decision, to God's calling. It was extremely rare in those days, which is about 70 years ago, in China, that parents would allow their children to become a pastor. But Reverend Mok's mother and grandmother were very God-fearing women, and they were willing to give their best to God, the only child, the only son they have in the family. Dear brothers and sisters and mothers, the three mothers, the three characters that we just went through in the Bible, they all demonstrated some outstanding spiritual traits and qualities because of their God-fearing hearts. It really stemmed from a heart that revered and honored and loved the Lord, a heart who trusts God, a heart who places God in the first place in their hearts. May God bless all of our mothers here, and may all of our mothers be extraordinary mothers, carrying all these three beautiful spiritual qualities, not just one, but three of them. And may our mothers be faithful to God's calling as a mother, no matter how difficult circumstances may be, but true to his calling. God has a plan. God has a purpose in your child's life, and he's going to use it to glorify himself. Be faithful to your calling and always be praying for them. Be a persistent intercessor. God is good, and God answers every prayer. And be willing to give of your best, whatever you think you treasure the most. Everyone, especially the mothers, even your children, give God the best in fulfilling of God's plan to God's glory. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for these wonderful mothers in the Bible who are great examples for us. May we all learn from them and be a God-fearing person, living a life that is pleasing to you. And may you bless our mothers, Lord, to be all extraordinary mothers because of their God-fearing heart and to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.